Welcome to the Into the Void podcast with your host, Sammy Starr. Step into the void.
Welcome, guys, to the next episode of Into the Void podcast. This is actually a pretty amazing episode as we have Holding Absence on here for this awesome edition of Into the Void. Really happy about this because coming into this, I never thought Into the Void would even get where it's at right now. I've had so many bands, so many people that have contributed to this effort. Seeing bands like Holding Absence really stepping forth and really contributing to this, not only is it a dream come true, but it's just really a stepping stone for this project moving forward. And I really want to thank you, Lucas, for really jumping on and really contributing to this effort. But I'm not going to keep schmoozing this and like making this really sappy. I do want you to introduce yourself to people that don't know who you are.
First thing I'd say just quick is well done. You know, I think when we make things as artists and creators and stuff, all we can ever ask for is for people to care, you know? So like, I'm grateful you care enough to talk to me and I'm glad to be here. So thanks for having me. Yeah, my name's Lucas and I sing in a band called Holding Absence. We're from the United Kingdom. And yeah, we've got music on Spotify and yeah, we're currently working on our third album at the moment.
Awesome. When you guys started Holding Absence, did you ever think that you would get to where you are right now? You know, it's only been like two albums in and you guys have skyrocketed to the point where you are right now. It's inspiring, to say the least.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, no, to be honest, you always have dreams, you know, like I said, whenever you make something, you have a dream for it and you have a vision for it. But I think we're past the point now where I could have ever realistically asked to do what I'm doing in my life. You know, the fact that as a guy from a small town in the smallest country in Britain, the fact that I've been afforded the opportunity to tour America, to tour Canada, Australia, Europe, I've done things that I could only have dreamt of, really. And I'm really, really grateful to still be doing them. Obviously, we're coming back to America this month, August, you know. So we're at the point now where I think everything just feels like a bonus because we've already fulfilled the quota that we could have reasonably asked for, you know.
Right. You have two albums that have come out in the past, The Self-Titled and The Greatest Mistake of My Life. I know lockdown was a very major contributor to that record. And, you know, there was lots of time to really work on that record. That was really a new era for you guys. And now you guys are kind of stepping into this EP with Alpha Wolf. How would you say this creative process was different compared to this album? You are working with another band and both of you kind of have this assertive and kind of dominant sound.
Collaboration is tough, you know. I think at the end of the day, it's quite easy to do whatever you want, but working alongside other people is what will unlock the best results, in my opinion, you know. The way I look at it is the more people are involved, the bigger the thing can be, you know, because it's 10 people's worth of love now rather than, or 9 people's worth of love rather than just one person. So yeah, so getting Alpha Wolf involved was a really, really cool opportunity. And like you said, we're both quite dominant bands. You know, we aren't in a position where we'll sacrifice our visions or whatever. It was always about finding the midpoint for us and what will maintain the Holding Absence vision, what will maintain the Alpha Wolf vision, how can we mix that together and create something cool. I think we've done a really good job of it. Obviously, at the root, it's just two songs from each band, you know, so it's nothing too crazy, but having like featured on each other's songs and through the kind of like artistic creation of the artwork and the title and all these kind of things. It was really lovely to have new people to bounce off of. I'm really, really grateful that they were so good to work with because you never know how somebody is to work with until you step into the ring with them, you know?
Right, exactly. I know like artwork is definitely something that is very important to you from different changes of how you guys have progressed from black and white to the different color palettes that you used for The Greatest Mistake of My Life to coming into this EP. You can kind of see this change of different perspectives throughout just the artwork in general, and it's pretty awesome to see. How did you guys even come to meet up for this EP? I feel like that's an interesting story to tell here.
Yeah, well, we played a festival together in 2000, and I think it was 2019. We were the two smallest bands by a mile, you know, and we had to share a dressing room together. So we met kind of because we had to originally. But we're big fans of each other's music. You know, I remember when Alpha Wolf dropped Akudama and I was listening to it and I was just like, whoa, you know, this is like up there with like some of the coolest music I've heard in the last decade. You know, I love metalcore and I grew up listening to it. And
right.
I just remember listening to Akudama and being like, dude, this is up there with like Downfall of Us All, or If You Can't Hang, or, you know, in that kind of genre. So we respect each other and we like each other. And it was just a case of just hitting each other up. I think the main reason this EP came about was because we both put albums out during the pandemic. Theirs came out just before, but, you know, we both put albums out that we really loved and we were really proud of, but we never got to tour. So this was a way of releasing new music whilst, you know, not moving on to a new record, if that makes sense. So it worked out perfectly for us both.
I feel like this is great timing-wise because, you know, you guys both released some pretty fantastic albums within the 2021 period. Would you say this is a continuation of evolving that sound?
I would definitely say so, yeah. I feel like Coffin and Aching Longing both feel like solutions from stuff that we've done. And as we're working towards album three now, I'm excited to take what we've done on songs like Coffin and try and evolve them even further. At the end of the day, when you create art and you make things the way that we do, you always want to be making something new, you know. But at the same time, it's a big goal of ours to not scare our fans off in any way. You know, bands I love and respect will kind of put out music that they kind of don't care if the fans like, you know. And I respect that as artistic integrity. But for me, it's kind of about giving our fans what we know they like in a way that maybe we've never done it before and just trying to evolve like that.
Lyrically, what is the wider scope of this whole EP? Like I said, we're coming from The Greatest Mistake of My Life. Not only was that a deep record, a lot of things happened within that time period that affected that lyrical process. Looking back at that record, it's very confident. It's cinematic. Like I said, looking at the artwork of the color palettes. And then even going back to the family tied story behind that album, it's very theatrical. And then there's also this naivety and failure and romance, which, you know, everybody kind of puts their own little spin on that in a way, which is kind of bittersweet and all too familiar in some cases. There's this very hearty kind of delicacy that kind of surrounds that album, I feel, which is kind of sewn into the lyrical fabric of it all. I guess without me trying to overtalk both with the EP experience and the actual album experience, what was the wider lyrical scope coming into this EP?
First of all, thank you very much. I really appreciate all the nice words about the album. Yeah, for me, I think, you know, it's tough because when you write an album, it's like you've got a canvas, you know, and mm-hmm. with The Greatest Mistake, like you said, you know, there was a real emotional depth to that record because of the connection to my family and also because of loads of different things. But I think with the split EP, it's different because I don't feel like I have a canvas now. I feel like I've got a small piece of paper. And it's one of those things where, like, I want to portray something, but I don't really have much more than minutes to portray it, you know? So
right.
I will say, though, like, Aching Longing is very much a referential kind of song to In Circles. A lot of what In Circles speaks to is the idea of life just going round and round and never being brave enough to leave where you come from. And as somebody who, like I said, grew up in a small town, you know, I know a lot of people who live that kind of lifestyle, you know. Aching Longing is a song that breaks free of that constraint. And it is a song that sees the horizon and the curiosity behind it. And it's a song that can't help but want to reach for the unknown, I suppose. So in that respect, like, that song definitely holds to the narrative of In Circles. But one thing I like to do with Holding Absence is, like, a lot of my lyrics are self-referential. A lot of my topics I have trodden ground with before. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, once again, what can I say that is new, or what can I say that is different, and how can I say it? I guess for me now, like, I'm looking forward to album three now that I've been reminded of what it's like to write just a song at a time or just a 10-minute release, because you know now I'm excited to be given that big canvas again and be given the opportunity to kind of paint like a much bigger picture than you can with just a split EP.
For sure. You guys will be touring with the Amity Affliction and Silverstein in August and September. Like you said, you guys are coming back to the U.S. to come and tour. So I couldn't imagine two better bands to be touring with.
Yeah.
I have talked to Silverstein a number of times, and they are always awesome to talk to. Very laid back and very, very humble people, and also very talented musicians. That's very action-packed couple of months. How are you feeling coming into that? I know exhilarated is kind of a shorthand way of putting it. How are you feeling?
I'm very, very excited. You know, when you're in a band, you've got to remember it is a job. You know, our goal is to go out there, do this tour and make as many fans as possible. You know, we just did an America tour in April with a band called Dayseeker, and
Oh my God, it was tough.
Yeah. Best band, right? They're so good. But it was tough as hell, you know, because we'd never done it before. So everything from getting used to the dietary or the normal kind of food and drink and stuff that I'm not used to in the UK, or you know, the long drives, or trying to even things like merch, you know, like American people buy t-shirts in a different kind of style to British people and stuff.
Honest to God, yeah.
And it was like the biggest lesson to learn, or hundreds of little lessons to learn, you know. But now we're coming over with Silverstein and Amity, I feel like I've learned all those lessons. And back home, we've learned how to play big stages. So I kind of feel like now we're putting two things we know quite well together. Yeah, I just can't wait. I grew up listening to those bands. I really did. 10 years ago, you know, Shipwreck in the Sand and Chasing Ghosts were like two constant rotation records for me. So
Most definitely. What is your favorite touring memory thus far? Like you said, you kind of have a diet now to kind of go off of. If you could pick a favorite touring memory that you've had thus far, hopefully you'll make more on the way coming into this US tour. If you could pick one, what would it be?
Obviously, I'm sure you're aware that's such a hard question. You know,
right.
I always like to ask
artists, though, because they always kind of have at least a few or maybe one that stands out.
Yeah, and like, honestly, I would say for me, the things that stand out, and it sounds really stupid because it is stupid, but like amongst all the chaos and all the, you know, the grandeur of touring and playing in front of thousands of people and seeing, you know, new places, like I am kind of in a van with my best friends, you know, and we all grew up in small little pockets of the United Kingdom. And for me, when you asked that question, the first thing that came into my head was, like I said, it is lame, but we're massive Marvel fans. And we've been really lucky to, like, on tour, be able to go and see the new Doctor Strange movie. We were in Toronto, I think. And then we went to see the new Spider-Man movie in, like, somewhere in the UK. And it sounds really lame, but that, to me, is my kind of first thought, because it's like I'm with people I love and I'm doing something that's familiar, but I'm in a completely unfamiliar place, you know?
Right.
And I think that is kind of weirdly, there's many different answers I could have given there, but I think for me, it's the idea that I'm with my best friends and we're on the other side of the world and we're just having fun together, whether it's playing shows or watching movies.
No, I think that's a very beautiful answer, because, you know, you could be stuck in like somewhere on the opposite corner of the world doing stuff by yourself. And while, you know, doing those mundane activities, you can do that all by yourself and be like, oh, hey, that's cool. But when you have, you know, such close companions and just doing those, what people would call mundane activities with people that you love and you care about, those are the things that you do care about the most. And while, you know, you can play those shows with people and stuff, those are things that you share. Some people take those memories for granted.
100%. Yeah. And I think a lot of bands take for granted the fact that they are out there with their best friends, you know, or they should be anyway. When you think of the things we do in life, like they are always elevated by company, you know, whether you're with your partner or your best friends or your family,
of course.
I don't think many people would say, I want to do this thing on my own. That's my favorite thing, is being on my own. You know, it's like people get scared of being alone, you know. So the fact that I'm never alone and I get to live this dream with people I love, that is just such an elevated version of events, really. So I'm really grateful.
What message do you want people to walk away from this EP? I know we keep bringing up the tour and stuff like that. Not just this EP, but I know fans are going to be going out there and possibly, again, new fans are going to be exposed to your music as well. This EP will be dropping and people will be also exposed to the albums. What do you want people to come out of this experience watching, you know, your set when they take in that experience? What do you want people to walk away from that?
I think for me, the main thing I want people to take from Holding Absences, and this is coming from like somebody who, you know, at the age of 15, like I went to every show I could possibly go to and I listened to as much music as I possibly could, you know, and I think a big thing about what we do with Holding Absences is we just try and make music for those people and kind of give them a place to embrace their emotions. It's a really big part of what we do, you know. It's like when you think about the male suicide rates are like incredibly high, and I think even though, you know, I know white men on the world's face have like the least problems, you know, I still think there is this stigma about embracing emotion, you know. And I think for me, my kind of purpose and my goal when it comes to Holding Absences is writing music and performing and just living a life that is embracing of vulnerability, sensitivity, and just the general existence of emotion. You know, we feel things. It's important. Feel them. Feel everything, you know. And I think when I write music, I always try and tap into as many emotions as I can, because I want people like myself 10 years ago to be able to listen to our music or watch our live show and think about the way that they're feeling and try and come to grips with it. Because I think a lot of people struggle with their mental health because they aren't willing to embrace their mental health, you know?
Of course. Since we are tying into the mental health of things, and I'm glad that you brought that up, what's the biggest problem that you have ever encountered so far being in a band or just an artist in general? I know during the last album process, one of your founding members had left. And I know this wasn't the first time this had happened to you guys, but to have somebody, you know, that concrete kind of leave, I know that had been very hard. And, you know, any band that kind of goes through that, it can make or break certain bands.
Yeah.
How are you able to conduct yourself after that happened? And, you know, it doesn't have to be that specific experience, but it could be any problem that you've encountered so far.
In the past, we've had like two of our core members leave the band, you know, and I mean, first and foremost, I think the band is better for it, honestly, because the replacement members of both those members are musicians I've made music with before I was even in this band. So technically, the two newest members of Holding Absences, I was making music with when I was 16, you know. I have no worries about the band moving forward, you know.
Of course.
I guess emotionally, it is really hard because I think, like I said, when you do something like make music and embrace your vulnerability, and not even just that, but like I have no real concrete income, you know. I have very little time to spend with my loved ones and my family and friends. And I wish I did, you know. It's like when you make those sacrifices, and then you kind of see just how fragile everything is.
Mm-hmm.
Both those members leaving could have an end to this band, you know. And the band has progressed twice as much since those members left. I'm so glad that the band didn't end. Yeah, the point I'm getting at is like when stuff like that happens, it is really tough because you're just in such a vulnerable space and you've sacrificed so much. It's like it reminds you how easy it is for all of this to be over, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the pandemic as well, because every musician had to have at least a year, you know, living in a house for the first time maybe in decades, or spending time with family, or maybe having to get jobs for the first time. And I think it was a way of reminding musicians like myself, this isn't forever. So first and foremost, like, kind of respect the life that you have underneath, and also respect the life that you've made on top, because it could all be over in a minute. But at the same time, you know, I use it all as fuel. I think it's like backwards inspiration, you know. It's like the fear of failure is as inspiring to me as anything, because it pushes me forwards, you know.
Of course. And I think you guys have generally done fantastic. And going back to your point to respect both sides of the coin, you guys have done fantastic moving forward. And I hope you guys continue to embrace this new era and continue to thrive moving forward. What's your favorite part about being a musician and least favorite part about being a musician?
My favorite part is making music. It's lame, but it's like I'm such a creative person. I'm really grateful that I'm afforded the opportunity to be creative, to write lyrics, to write melodies, to come up with album artwork and t-shirts. And these are things that many people get the opportunity to express themselves through. So I think that for me is great. And then obviously going to places I've never been before, meeting people I've never met before. There's such a wealth of positivity that comes with being in a band. Like I said, you know, during the pandemic, it really made me realize the things I'm missing out on in life. I see some of my friends with proper jobs and even things like I'm in a really happy relationship, and maybe in another life we'd be getting married soon, or we may be already be married or whatever, you know, and it's stuff like that I feel like I'm kind of deprived of in a weird way. And I don't want to sound hard done by, but because of the financial deficit that you normally face and the time deficit, and I've just been away for 3 months and I'm about to go away for another 3 months, you know, and I'm so fortunate that I have a really supportive girlfriend, you know, because that's the kind of thing that could ruin a relationship, really. So it's tough finding that kind of midpoint where being in a band doesn't ruin every other aspect of your life, I guess.
I always like asking this question because I know, like you said, you mentioned Marvel's movies being that small kind of thing that you guys kind of enjoy outside of the music aspect of things. If you could do anything outside of music, what would it be?
My answer 100% is I would write comic books for a living. I actually love comics. Everywhere around my house, I've got comic books or manga or whatever. I grew up reading the Marvel comics, so that's why it's such a big thing for me. Yeah, since the age of 8, that's been my media format. I feel like, to me, it's the midpoint between reading a book and watching a film, you know? And I've got such a wild imagination that someday I would love to go into that. But I haven't got any time. So, yeah.
No, you can definitely, like, see at least the cinematic qualities come through within the music. When you mentioned like comic books and, you know, manga and stuff like that, a lot of that very much resonates within that field. And seeing those cinematic qualities come through in your music, I can kind of put those two together and see, like, I get it. I understand it. What's the best advice that you've ever gotten as an artist?
Ooh, as an artist, that's a tough one. I'll tell you the best advice that I ever got, and it's really, really simple, and it's something my mother says to me a lot. But my mum always says life is for living, you know, and it's very, very simple. But every time I feel like I'm on the edge of doing something, or every time I'm scared of doing something, it's there to be done, you know. Mm-hmm. If you've had a dream, it's there to be pursued. And if, you know, there's anything in life you want to do, do it, because it wouldn't be there to do if it wasn't there to do. You know, I know that sounds really dumb, but like, you should never say no yourself for fear of whatever, because life is for living and it's there to be lived. So that's my favorite bit of advice that, you know, my mom always gives me.
That is very great advice, because I feel like a lot of times we are afraid of a lot of things that are very daunting at times, and we should go after the things that we're scared of, because we never know what's at the other end of it. And a lot of times that leads to very prosperous things. I know with me, I do work for places like Outburn Magazine and Spill Magazine, and like, those are great magazines and I love working for them. But I was wondering, like, for me, what would happen if I tried doing this for myself? You know what I mean?
For sure, for sure. Yeah.
And, you know, I tried it and it's been growing. You know, I've been having great bands such as yourself on my podcast and, you know, on my website, and it's been a great experience. So I think that bookends your point that you made.
Yeah, for sure. Like, and I think a big part of it is, like, okay to fail as well. You know, like you said, if you look at it as a tunnel and you don't know what's on the other end of it, I mean, I'd rather go in, find out what's on the other end of it and fail than not bother trying, you know. And like you said, you know, we're both people that are doing things we love because we had the bravery to just try, and it worked out, you know.
Of course.
So, you know, and I'm never going to stop trying those things, because who knows what could work out in life, you know. But you'll never know unless you do it.
Of course. I want to thank you for actually coming on to this episode of Into the Void It was a pleasure talking to you about, you know, your record, your experiences, and also the EP that's going to be coming out in August. I think everybody is going to love this very new experience that you guys are going to bring to the table, because while it's new, it definitely combines both, like I said, very assertive and very dominant forces of very great bands within the scene. I think people are very much going to enjoy that aspect and that nature of you guys both kind of coming together on this EP.
Thank you. Yeah, dude. And thank you very much for having me as well. I've had a blast, and keep up the good work. Yeah, keep killing it.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys for liking, commenting, subscribing. Thank you so much for listening on Spotify, Podbean, and on YouTube, wherever the podcast is available. Appreciate everybody taking the time out to support and listen. Take care, guys.